When we go back to our own history, the history of our salvation, when man sinned, there is that undeniable, undenying reality that man could not save himself. He could not get out of that situation by himself. And so he needed a Savior who would take him out of that situation, that sinful situation, in order for him to be saved. And not only a Savior, man needs also to be converted. We heard from the first reading, the book of Exodus, the mission and the calling of Moses. But Moses was reminded by Yahweh that it is not he himself who is going to save the Israelites from the oppression in Egypt. It is ultimately Yahweh, God, who would save his people from the Egyptians, from the oppression in Egypt. And so Yahweh had to dialogue with Moses. And he has this message. What was the message of Yahweh to Moses? I know the sufferings of my people. I am not privy to the sufferings of these people in Egypt. I know all what they suffered. And here, Yahweh revealed his own identity, that he is the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And when Moses asked him, What will I tell the people regarding you? Who are you? Who am I going to tell them about you? And Yahweh said, I am he. I am he sent to you. You know, this phrase is interpreted as, I am a God who is not static. I am a God who is not indifferent to the struggles of my people, to the sufferings of my people. So when Yahweh told Moses that I know the sufferings of my people, just knowing here is not just an intellectual speculation, just as I know you, I know your name, I know your family, I know your educational background and your status, just a mere intellectual speculation. But knowing here is more of an empathy. In other words, Yahweh empathizes with the suffering of the people, of the Israelites in Egypt. So he knows it by heart. That's why it could also relate to us, my dear brothers and sisters. When we suffer, when we encounter a lot of sufferings, sometimes we feel that, oh, I am abandoned by God. Why are you so indifferent, oh God? Why do you not put a stop to my suffering? Why am I alone? Why am I abandoned? But no, God is in our struggle. God is in our suffering. We cannot say that we are alone, we are abandoned, that God is indifferent. God knows our suffering. God empathized with us. And so here we need him. We need a God who would save us from this situation. St. Paul, in our second reading, has a beautiful treatise on this. He reminded the Corinthians of the situation of their ancestors. The ancestors in Egypt, when they were led to the desert, they kept on grumbling. They kept on complaining, why did you take us out from Egypt? At least in Egypt, we're able to eat. The weather is quite good, not like here in the desert, just like Arizona. So hot! So we kept on complaining. So we're not actually far from this Jewish or the Israelites who were moved from Egypt and they stayed in the desert, kept on grumbling, kept on complaining. And why did they complain? It is because of their lack of conversion. That's why St. Paul reminded them, oh, what happened to your ancestors will exactly happen to you. The experience of their ancestors is a warning, a reminder to the Corinthians and to all of us that unless we convert, unless we change our ways, we will also suffer the same fate as the ancestors of the Israelites. Dear brothers and sisters, our response to this need of a Savior is also to be vigilant and for us to be converted. Conversion, since we are sinners, we are all sinners. We need conversion. And this is also the theme of the gospel today. People kept on saying that those Galileans whose blood Pilate mixed with their sacrifices, do you think that these Galileans are the worst sinners in the world? Or those who were victims when the tower at Siloam fell, do you think that they were worst sinners? By no means, Jesus said. But the implication of Jesus' statement is that we are all sinners. When it comes to sinful reality, we cannot say, oh, I am exempted. I could brag that I am not like these people. Sometimes we say, oh, we are not like the Syrians in Syria who suffer that, the evils of terrorism, because they are the worst sinners in the world. Oh, we cannot say that. Or those people in Africa who suffered the severe famine and hunger because they are the worst sinners in the world. We cannot say that, my dear brothers and sisters, as according to Jesus, because we are all sinners. We belong to a sinful, fragile humanity. And so because of this situation, we need the Savior. We need Christ to save us. And so Jesus, in telling this, in this seeing this situation, he told us a parable, the parable of a fig tree. The owner of the fig tree for 3 years was expecting that this fig tree would bear fruit. But he found none. So he called his gardener, I want that this fig tree be cut. It is inutile, useless, does not bear fruit. But look at the attitude of the gardener. The gardener here is Jesus. The owner is the Father. What was the attitude of the gardener? Wait, wait, sir. Please be patient. I will labor. I will exert a lot of effort. I will apply fertilizer. And let us see. Give it 1 year. If it will not bear fruit after I have fertilized it, then we can cut it down. Jesus, the Father, who sees our life as fruitless, Jesus makes intercession. He kept on begging the Father, Father, please, please control your temper. Do not punish these people when they are sinned. Here I am as the Savior, as the law successor. I beg you, Father, I will do a lot. I will offer myself in sacrifice just to save these people. I will give them space. And what is the space that Jesus brings to the people? The space of mercy, the space of justice, so that we will all be saved. We will all experience justification. So Jesus continues to beg the Father on our behalf. That is the meaning of Jesus' intercession. He makes us be worthy. I will fertilize them, Father. I will continue laboring for them. I will exert a lot of effort for them so that I'll be able to present them worthy of you as our Father. Isn't it nice, my dear brothers and sisters, when we feel that Jesus is not actually far away from us, just like the Father in the Old Testament, in the book of Exodus, who empathize with the suffering of his people. Jesus also did that on the cross. He empathized with us so that we will be freed from eternal damnation and we will be presented to God our Father as a worthy offering.